Perfect. Thanks, Dylan. I was pretty ready not to preach up to this point. Just seeing how the Lord moves, I was like, this is touch and go. Is this going to happen or not? But yeah, just keeping it lightly before the Lord. And so my name is Steph. My surname is Kriel. I'm one of the elders in the church with this bunch. And it's really such a privilege to be a part of this church. My beautiful wife, Ilse. I do tell her that she's beautiful outside of church also, just so that you know. And today I'm going to talk about serving. And the title of my preach is Serving is for Everyone, not just for one. And is the sound all right? And as you all know, serving is a pretty important part of church. And the first thing that you do when you prep a preach on a certain topic is you go and Google it to see what Google says. So Google said, when I asked Google what's the definition of serve, it says to perform duties or services for another person or an organization. And it gives an example. Malcolm has served the church very well. So well done to Google. I think Google hit it. Don't Google other stuff. don't trust Google. But the thing with serve, it's a verb, which means there's an action required. And you actually need to do something. So now that we've already asked Google, let's see what the Bible says about serving. So in the Old Testament, for those who don't know, they were God's people. They were called the Israelites. And the Israelites consisted of 12 tribes. So they're divided in these. And one of these tribes were called the Levites. Now, you can go and read in Numbers 18 and 1 Chronicle 23. I'm not going to read it now. But it gives you the role of the Levites in the Old Testament. And you're probably thinking, where am I going with this? Like the church is in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament. But the Levites were dedicated specifically to the service of the church. So they had to do everything. They had to set up the sound. They had to lead the worship. They had to clean the church. They had to, if you brought your offering, they had to put the fire on and bring the sacrifice. So they were literally doing everything in church. They interceded. They seek the Lord for the Israelites. And so what you as all the other 11 tribes could do is you could just rock up at the temple and worship the Lord, pray, bring an offering, and then you leave again. And sounds quite nice. Huh? Does it sound familiar? So I think a lot of us has an idea of what church should be, and that we can just rock up at church and the Levites, the chosen ones, will do all the work. So now the thing is, when I read about the Levites and how they serve the church and how they did all these things, I thought, but if I was God, I would send Jesus through the Levite tribe, because that just makes sense. Jesus is the one, he should be in the temple, he should be the one seeking us for God and serving as I look at the life of Jesus. But the thing is, God decides to send Jesus through Judah, and Judah is actually the royal tribe. So he didn't send him through the Levites, who needs to serve in the temple. He sends him through Judah. And you've probably all watched the movie where there were royals involved. So the big thing of a royal is that you get served. You sit on a throne, you do practically nothing except tell other people what to do, and you have this really impractical clothing on because you really don't have to do anything else. So royals are really served. But then we get to the New Testament, and there's this pivotal moment in the Bible where Jesus turns all of this around. And in Matthew 20, verse 25 to 28, so it says, "But Jesus called them to him and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" So you get this, you get Jesus coming from this royal line in Judah. So you've got like King David, you've got King Solomon, all these guys that had massive temples and a lot of people serving them. And suddenly he turns this thing around and he says, "Yes, I am royal, but I came to serve. I didn't come to be served." And in our minds, and especially in the guys' minds in that time, they had this culture of the Levite serve at the temple. They are the guys that does everything. And suddenly Jesus just turns this thing around. And we see this play out also in the early church, so Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13, which says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So just that, let's just go one back, please. And where it just says, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So that means everybody is, those other ones are given as gifts to equip everybody to do the works of the ministry and build up the body of Christ. And Romans 8 verse 17 also then says, for us then, says more than, yeah. So it says, and if children and heirs of, sure. Heir, there's a lot of heirs. I'm just gonna, yeah, there's a lot of heirs. We are all heirs. That's why it says heirs so many times. Okay, I'm just gonna read it. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, the thing is, serving, it's not always suffering to serve. Let me just put it out that way. But the thing is, we give up something to serve in the church. We give up moments we could have spent. I love fixing my house. But there's moments where I need to give it up and go like, God's kingdom is first. No, I can't fix the ceiling now. God's kingdom is first. And seeing people and inviting people into our homes and spending time and listening to the Spirit and following the Spirit. And my wife has definitely been a great inspiration to me in serving. I think I would not have been here if it wasn't for my wife. So the Lord knew. So I want Ilza just to share a little bit just on why she enjoys serving.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. So when Steph asked me to share, it was actually very good for me to reflect on why I serve, because sometimes we just do something. But firstly, the thing Steph alluded to is Jesus is our great example, and I love Jesus, so I want to be like Jesus. So I'm not going to expand further on that. The second point is just that I really do love the church, and I want to do anything and everything for the bride to function. So if there's a gap, I like to fill it. But I've also realized that if I'm a pinky, we don't want a handful of pinkies. So we need all and everybody and every part of the church to function. And then the last reason, which is probably a bit more personal, is it makes me feel part of the family as I'm invested here and I spend my time and my effort here. You're probably all familiar with the analogy of church is like a family, and so we're all part of the family. But if you have a guest over at your house, you're not going to expect the guest to clear the table or to do dishes. But if we're part of the family, we all serve. Even the children, they've got age-appropriate chores to do. So in the same way, as we're part of the family, we all have a little part to give and to bring. So I want to share a little bit of my story, because some of you might be thinking, I'm not good with kids, or I've got three kids under the age of three, or I work really hard, or you know, or you might disqualify yourself for some or other reason. Or you might even think I burn pancakes, so I can't do that. I don't know what your reason is. But I studied medicine at Tigerberg. This is about 11 years ago. I graduated, went to PE, I think it's called Kluberga now. I'm sorry. Masabata isn't here, or in-house linguist. Otherwise, I would ask her. Anyway, so Hane actually went with me, and we went to work in the hospitals there. It was really tough. Worked a lot of hours through the night, through the next day. But anyway, so I was part of a church there called Oxygen Life Church. I know Grant and Lorna often go there. And I really love that church. They were like my family, literally, because I didn't have any other family there. And so if there was a meeting, I would go. If there was community, I would go early, help set up, pray with the leaders. A lot of Sundays I couldn't go because I was working, but I was always there if I could. I wanted to do something, so I signed up to sell coffee, because that was all that I could actually find time to do. But even then, I had to swap out sometimes because I was at work. And later on, they actually started inviting me to some of the leaders' meetings. And I remember standing, I was sitting there the one evening, and Brad, who leads the church, was sharing something. And I remember sitting there, I don't think I took in half what he said, because I was just thinking there, looking across the room, and they were just elders and deacons and ministry leaders and community leaders and everybody that I thought was really important in church. And there I was. I sometimes sell coffee. and I just thought, why am I here? So anyway, so afterwards, Brad comes up to me and he says, I just felt God highlight you. And I just wanted to thank you for what you contribute. And God's really stoked to have you. Or he actually said, man, we're so stoked to have you part of the family. And thank you for what you do. And then that reason, and in that moment, I just realized it's not about what you do. It's about your heart. Is your heart to serve? Is your heart to be there? Do you love the body of Christ? And Matthew 10:42 says, and whoever gives one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, because he's my disciple, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So even if a cup of water is so significant to the Lord, anything you bring with what you can is really significant in his eyes. And then just lastly, a picture one of my friends shared who's in Divinal AM. She said, belonging is like breathing. So it's inhaling, accepting from the Lord and from your fellow believers, and breathing out, exhaling, serving. And you can't just inhale the whole time, because then you'll hyperventilate and get dizzy. And you can't exhale the whole time, because then you'll actually just faint, because there's no air to exhale. So for us to belong in church, we need to inhale and exhale, and that will lead to life. Yeah.
Okay, we can go home now. So, Paulette shared a word, I think, last week, just on, and she spoke about threads, and the threads being weaved together, and in that picture, just thinking of the picture, it made me think about silkworms. Now, I think all of you know what a silkworm is, and I know some of you, or your parents, have made them mysteriously disappear, and your kids are still wondering what happened to them, and why they didn't survive. But the amazing thing of a silkworm is it has this golden thread that it produces. And it's called silk, obviously, that's why it's a silkworm. And but the thing is, when we were kids, you could do two things with this thread, with a silk. So you can leave the worm, and when it starts producing the silk, and it will just cocoon itself and then just die. And it becomes a moth. But that's not the point. But the other thing is, you can actually do a cardboard cutout of, say, a heart shape or a triangle or something, and you put it on place, and you take a few of these silkworms and you plonk them on there, and then they'll start just weaving over the shape. And then after a while, you get this amazing silk shape that is quite beautiful. And this just made me think of serving. And with the energy the Lord has given us, we can do one of two things. We can use that energy to cocoon ourselves for our own comfort, or we can actually serve the Lord in that and be part of this form that the Lord has created with others. And when you are serving like a silkworm, you're actually attached to the body of Christ. You actually belong to this form that's being made. And being attached, you can't easily disappear that easily. You've got this lifeline that's attached. If you're the guy that makes pancakes on Sunday and you don't rock up on Sunday, we will quickly realize there's no pancakes. And it's like, hey, where's Jose? He's not making pancakes today. And in serving, that it's that lifeline for ourselves to actually be attached and be a part of the church. And I think, like Ilse said, is we can think, oh, I don't have the energy. I know somebody asked me to do this or do that. No, I just can't do it. But just in my own life, I've realized as the Lord's grown me in this, I've been at moments where it's like, oh, there's another church meeting I need to go to. Oh, it's Sunday, I can't get up because it's been a hard week. And oh, I need to go to community too again. But in that, I've just realized in me and the Lord helping me and the leaders helping me. I know Anna's helped me with this as well, is actually to push through that thing. And suddenly, the Lord supernaturally started giving me capacity for his church and for his body, and capacity for work and everything else I need to do outside of church. And I want to read Luke 6, verse 38 quickly. So it says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And I love this part of the scripture where the Lord just says, like, give and I will give back to you. And shaken up, stirred, overflowing is how I will give back to you. And no, it's probably not in money, and the Lord will look after us. But it's in that capacity that we have for the Lord and that we have for the church. And He will let it overflow into our workplaces and all the other things that we actually need to get to. And in this process, I also actually just learned to steward my own time better and my own energy. So we know, okay, this part of the year, I probably need to take a break. Otherwise, I'm not going to have capacity for everything that's still coming in the year. I want to show a video quickly. Thanks, Marley, for forwarding the video. Let's see if it works. Don't build your preachers on technology. Just slot it in at the end. Is there sound somewhere? Where's Jart? Come, Jart.
I never really liked the church. I didn't even really like Christians that much. I used to think of it like a pack and steal. Like, you get Jesus, and so you get the church and Christians thrown. It's just part of the package. And there are some bits you like Jesus, some bits you don't like so much, which, like, the church and Christians. Used to find that a bit annoying. But I'd turn up the church and go through it. But I didn't really enjoy going to church. And then one day, I was at the back of our church in East London, and someone said to me, "Oh, we need help to run the coffee team." And I was like working like 70, 80 hour week. I'm like, "What?" And they were like, "Yeah, Steve, we really need your help running the coffee team on a Sunday." And I was thinking, I'm a pastor, I'm not a barista. Like, I've got a job, I don't need another job to run the coffee team. But I just, you know, sometimes you just can't even think of what to say. So I was like, "Okay, I'll do it, okay." And I instantly thought, why did I do that? So I turn up next week, like, you know, trying to get the cups and everything, get the coffee right. As I handed these cups to people, something really changed in me. I found myself, as I handed coffee to these people, growing in love for them. I was like, these people are amazing. Like, this is this extraordinarily diverse community. It's been gathered from across the area. Probably not another place that looks as diverse and integrated as this. This is a miracle. And then even people I found a little bit more frustrating and complicated, as I handed them their coffee, I kind of grew in love with them. And I kind of basically fell in love with the church. And then I kind of went back to the person who'd asked me to do it. I said, "We need a new coffee machine. We need better beans. We need better mugs. Like, come on, these are amazing people. I want this to be the best coffee that they get. You know, they're coming to church on a Sunday morning." I got more and more passionate. I started to build a team to serve coffee on a Sunday morning. I sometimes say, making coffee changed my life because I fell in love with the Church of Jesus Christ. I didn't realize why it was special. I didn't realize why it mattered. And as I made coffee for people, I suddenly realized, oh, the church is like the bride of Jesus Christ. It's like the thing He gave Himself for. Like, the church is God's plan for the salvation of the world. There's no plan B, and God is going to build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, like, God is putting all His eggs in the church basket. And I realized over those few weeks, there's a beautiful thing here. Yes, it messes up. Yes, it makes mistakes. You'll never find a perfect church, but it's a beautiful thing. And I thought, that's what I want to spend my life building.
That video really touched me as well. And just seeing just the love for the church and the love for the body of Christ. And it's not just the thing you're serving. It's actually Jesus' bride that you're serving. And actually being involved in that. It's a privilege to serve. It's not just a duty. Yeah, and I want to encourage you. Find a place in the church to serve. There's many places. You can open your home to host the community. You can serve on the pancake team. You can come early when your commie's on duty and help set up. You can join prayer meetings before church. That's serving. That's finding the Lord before church. Help with the sound. Join the kids' church. Join the kids' church registration. Join the AV team. Thanks, Steve. And I think to actually, when you find that place to serve, keep on serving. Don't give up. I've many times gotten to a place where you go, Lord, like, sure, this has been going on for, I've been serving in this place for a very long time. But you know what? That's the point where the perseverance comes in. And when you hold on and going, Lord, you haven't moved me yet, I'm going to keep on serving. And from that perseverance, the Lord actually starts growing your character. If you hold on, it's not just the perseverance, push through, and the Lord will grow your character, and he's after your character. And the Bible says that when your character is developed, that brings hope, because suddenly you realize, oh, I can actually overcome this. It's not, the Lord's bigger than this. The Lord Jesus has already overcome. And serving is such a privilege. It's hard sometimes. It's not always sunshine and roses, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it for the glory of God and for his church, and to see how the Lord grows people that you're serving, and how the Lord breaks through and breaks things open for people. And I want to pray. I think if you are sitting here and you're thinking, I know all this stuff. It's like, heard it so many times. I know I should serve. I know what the Bible says about serving, but I just always get to that point just before I serve and I realize I just can't push through that last little barrier of sticking up my hand and saying, I'll serve. And not just serving, but committing your heart, like Ilse said, committing your heart to God's body and God's church. And I'd actually like to pray. I think, yeah. And I think, yeah, let's all close our eyes. And I'll ask you if you felt that now, when I said you are at that point and you know, like, life is busy, life is tough, and I just can't bring myself just to pass that point of going, like, I'm in God's. Yes, I've given my life to the Lord, but I know I need to build into the church and start serving in the church. So I just want to pray, Lord, as you, will you speak to us, Lord? Will you speak to our hearts in this moment? Holy Spirit, just as we experience you in worship, Lord, I just want to pray in this moment, it's your body and your church, Lord. Holy Spirit, will you come and speak to us? Will you stir us? Will you stir us, Lord, to serve in your church? And, Lord, I pray for those whose hearts are in that place, Lord, where they know you are asking them to serve, Lord. And it's a noble thing to serve your body. I just can't get through on that point, Lord, of just pushing through. Holy Spirit, I want to ask that you will help each heart in this moment. I want to ask you to help us to make that decision, just to go, this is your body and I want to serve it. And it is something worth building, that we can one day share in your glory forever, Lord. It's not, the serving is now for the moment, but your glory is forever. And I just pray that you will minister to our hearts in this moment, Jesus. And I want to ask that you see now we've experienced Jesus in worship now, and you've experienced the Holy Spirit. But if you hear and you realize I've never had the privilege to give my heart to Jesus, or you've had the privilege, but you know that moment has come and gone, I want to open it up just for that privilege, that moment again where you want to say, Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart. I want to allow you to be the King of my heart. I've experienced something of you as you've moved through this morning, and I know you're tugging at my heart, and I need to take that step so that I can become part of your kingdom. So one day, when I go to you, I know I'll be in heaven. I want to, with every eye closed, I want to just give that opportunity. If that is you, will you just raise your hand quickly? I'd love to just pray with you. If there's anybody that wants to give their heart to Jesus this morning. Just going to give it a moment. Thank you for that, Andy. Okay, we're just going to pray quickly. Lord Jesus, We just want to thank you for this moment. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into your kingdom, that we can give our hearts to you, Lord. Thank you that there's this amazing moment that we have with you, Lord. That moment where we can look back in time and go, that's the moment we decided that Jesus, you are my King and you are my Savior. And, Lord, we just want to celebrate this moment. And, we just praise your name, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, let's give a round of applause. Over to you, Dylan.
Sure. What a beautiful morning with Jesus, eh? So I'm going to let Molly share this word quickly with me.
I just had a picture this morning of when you get onto a motorbike and you have, if you don't actually know what you're doing, yet, and it starts going and you go, and like you see this picture of the guy with the legs flailing and going like a little bit too fast and trying to get control. I just feel like there's someone here who actually is saved, started serving in the church, and went a little bit too fast and you felt out of control and you pulled back. And I just feel God is saying, you'll get the hang of it. Just let me teach you. Ask those who are around you who've done it a few times, but don't give up. It is going to be fun.
So if that's you, come to the front afterwards, okay? But what I wanted to do is now thank God for what happened. This has been an incredible morning with the King. I think came in on his bike. There we go. If you wanted a physical demonstration, I'll tell you a quick funny story that as she was saying, it reminded me, and it's about Andrew Selly. I went and surfed a secret spot, and we went on motocross bikes once, and you had to hold your surfboard and go. And at the end of it, I called him One Foot Selly, because he kept putting his foot down, and I was trying to go faster than him just to get going. And it's like you have to sometimes find that balance. And it's like hard when you're going slow. But once you get into that spot where God's with you, it's actually quite easy just to put both your feet up and go. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for an incredible morning with you, God. Thank you, God, that you love us, that you are an incredible God, that you never leave us where we're at, God. You always have a plan and a purpose for us, God. And Father, let us be doers of the word, not just hearers, as we leave this place, Lord God. Will you just come and break into our hearts, into our lives? In this week, let us put it into practice. After this meeting, God, let us speak to those people that we want to commit to, where we want to serve. In Jesus' name.